From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, December 1st. I'm Abby Larico. Starting today, it is now legal to bet on sports in Missouri. The effort to legalize sports wagering had the backing of Missouri's professional sports organizations, including the St. Louis Blues.
It's been going on, and that engagement and that ability to for us to you know, again, put our product out there is something that's very interesting for us.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on how sports betting is changing the game. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The holiday weekend freeze may have just been a warm-up for road crews. That says the National Weather Service is forecasting another storm system for the St. Louis region tonight. Parts of northeast Missouri into central Illinois will see bands of moderate to heavy snow that could impact tonight's commute. That's especially north of the I-70 corridor. Light snowfall is expected in Quincy starting this morning and throughout the day. It begins this afternoon in St. Louis, picking up around 9 o'clock tonight. The NWS recorded nearly 6.5 inches of snow over the weekend in St. Louis, making it the fifth biggest November snowstorm on record. Some spots saw as many as 10 inches of snow. Cold air means even a dusting of snow is expected to stick around, possibly covering any ice that formed with yesterday's melting and refreeze. Temperatures are expected to remain below freezing until Wednesday. Hundreds of beds are available for people in St. Louis needing shelter from the cold. The city and local nonprofit groups are making space for up to 345 people due to code blue weather conditions expected through tonight. That means freezing temperatures and wind chill below 25 degrees. Walk-up shelter is available at Peter and Paul's Jugan Shelter and Sydney Shelter and the Biddle Housing Opportunity Center. Transport to shelters will be available tonight between 5 and 7 at the Urban League Women's Business Center, the Wellston Loop Community Development Corporation, Centenary United Methodist, and Carondelet Park Tennis Courts. If you or someone you know needs assistance finding a warm place to stay, please dial 211 for help. It's cold and it's flu season, and health officials in the Midwest are expecting a longer and worse flu season than usual. Mariah Wolfel reports.
Dr. Emily Landon is the University of Chicago's top infectious disease expert and says of the flu season this year,
it's looking to be a pretty rough one.
One big reason is because the U.S. in the Northern Hemisphere developed its flu vaccine based on early strains of the virus during the Southern Hemisphere's winter, which takes place during our summer. But the virus morphed drastically throughout the season.
So we're facing down a flu virus that is different from what we have in our flu vaccine.
Landon says it's still smart to get the shot for some protection and to wash your hands regularly and mask up in public places like airports or grocery stores.
That was Mariah Wolfel reporting. St. Louis County's public health director says the county's policymakers should preserve 3 healthcare clinics that serve the working poor. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on how the county's budget woes are putting an increased focus on the agency's healthcare offerings.
St. Louis County is the only county in the state that operates federally qualified health center lookalikes, which provide primary healthcare services. The lookalike designation allows the county to get better reimbursements from federal government programs like Medicaid and Medicare. County council members have questioned whether the county can afford to maintain the facilities amid a budget deficit. County Public Health Director Dr. Kanika Cunningham says the facilities are vital.
Given what is taking place on the federal level, we cannot close our doors to the most vulnerable in St. Louis County.
The county's roughly $80 million budget hole may have to be filled with a mixture of reserves and St. Louis Rams settlement funds. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Cunningham was a guest on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. You can listen to her full interview at stlpr.org. St. Louis is asking homeowners to help the city complete its map of lead pipes. That says the EPA has announced more money toward removing the pipes from water systems. The city's water division is continuing to survey residents and conduct home inspections to get a true count of lead service lines in St. Louis. It's part of compliance with a Biden-era rule requiring lead pipes be identified and removed within the decade. The Trump administration has not halted the rule, but City Water Commissioner Neeraj Patel says ongoing legal challenges could alter the timing and funding guidance. Last week, the EPA announced it was releasing another $3 billion into the effort to remove lead pipes in locales where the highest numbers have been identified. Patel says this initiative is one of several updates the city needs to make on its water system, including to mains and treatment plants.
We need to be practical about how we approach this and make sure that the ratepayers, the city residents, aren't absorbing all of this unnecessarily.
The cost of replacing lead pipes in St. Louis is higher than originally thought. Patel says cost estimates are now upwards of $12,000 each. In a release, the EPA says the number of lead pipes nationwide, though, is likely lower than previously estimated. The average Ameren, Illinois customer will see a $3.65 increase for natural gas bills come January. STLPR's Will Bauer reports this comes after the Illinois Commerce Commission approved a $73 million increase.
State regulators did not give the Collinsville-based utility company everything it wanted. It cut Ameren's $128 million request by $56 million. Still, average customers will pay more for the delivery of natural gas. Capital News Illinois reports the ICC's ruling means monthly bills will go up on average less than $4 per month. Ameren serves more than 800,000 natural gas customers in downstate Illinois. The company argued the increase was necessary to maintain their system's reliability and safety. Consumer advocates, though, say the increase is too much. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
It's the holiday season, and people are buying gifts for friends and family, and that means scammers are taking advantage. Steve Burness is the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois. He says people's shopping habits have changed in recent years, which makes them more vulnerable to fraud.
Scammers go where the money's at, so they know consumers spend a lot of money on holiday gifts. There's always a spike around the holiday season, and especially after the pandemic, as everybody has shifted mostly to online.
And especially pertinent advice with today's Cyber Monday shopping push, Burness says people should be careful when clicking on links or pop-up ads. He warns shoppers to be on the lookout for counterfeit websites from major companies that appear to be real. If you have new places to gather with friends or grab a bite between shopping trips on your wish list this season, some good news. November's list of new restaurants features spots across the metro. Tower Grove Farmers Market favorite T-Rock Thai opened a brick-and-mortar in Shaw. Dirty Pop in O'Fallon, Missouri is serving trendy, dirty sodas. And DD Mao is now offering its spread of Vietnamese favorites in a bigger space in Webster Groves. OB Slices, which is named for owner's pups Olive and Basil, is firing up its pizza ovens in Alton. And the Passport Craft Cocktail and Wine Bar is a new spot to raise a glass in downtown West. Some longtime favorites also shut their doors in the last month, though, including Buttery Diner in Tower Grove South and Lottawatta Creek in Fairview Heights. For more of November's local restaurant news, visit STLPR.org. Starting today, Missourians can now legally bet on sports. It marks the end of a years-long effort to legalize sports betting in the state, one that ultimately came down to a vote of the people. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on how sports betting is already changing the playing field.
Derek Durst of Baldwin voted to legalize sports betting last November. He says he knows plenty of people who have crossed state lines to bet in both Illinois and Kansas.
So it's like, you know, not the worst thing to keep the money in-house from any taxes, but it wasn't really based on that. I just kind of wanted it legal here because it's inconvenient to drive to Illinois.
The vote to legalize sports betting was incredibly close, with Amendment 2 winning by only 50.1%. Durst went to college in Iowa, where sports betting is already legal. He says it was annoying to come back to a state where it wasn't.
I never got to the point where it's like, oh my God, like I need to gamble, like I'm itching for it. It's just like, oh dang, there's some really good football games on this weekend. It'd be really nice if I could gamble.
Before it became a constitutional amendment, state lawmakers spent several years attempting to legalize sports betting. Those efforts were backed by Missouri's sports teams, including the St. Louis Blues.
I think we would have preferred to have worked it through the legislature, and I think we would have spent a lot of less money in the process of getting it passed. But ultimately, it just came down to, you know, letting the people decide.
That's Steve Chapman, Chief Revenue and Marketing Officer for the St. Louis Blues. He says legalizing sports betting in Missouri will be a boon for the Blues in both revenue increases and fan engagement.
You want to make any game interesting? Put $20 on it, and all of a sudden the game's a lot more interesting than it was before. So whether you want to or don't want to, it's been going on, and that engagement and that ability to for us to you know, again, put our product out there is something that's very interesting for us.
Almost 40 states have legalized sports betting since the Supreme Court ruling in 2018 that paved the way for states to pass it. Of Missouri's eight surrounding states, all but Oklahoma have already passed sports betting. Stephen Shapiro is a professor at the University of South Carolina. He researches sport consumer behavior. He says something he's seen with the rise of sports betting is more attention to the games.
The more people bet on sport, the more sport content they're consuming. So the more games they're watching, the more content related to those games, the more content related to sport gambling, for instance, information and knowledge about placing bets, all of that increases.
In Missouri, people can bet both in person at casinos as well as through a variety of mobile apps. In order to operate, companies must be partnered up with either a sports team or a casino. However, two companies, DraftKings and Circa Sports, were granted untethered licenses by the Missouri Gaming Commission. That means they can operate in the state without a partnership. Sean Henley is the chief customer officer at DraftKings. He says having that untethered license means they can use what they don't spend on those partnerships back into what they offer.
We're really thankful and excited that we got one of the two licenses because it just allows us to elevate the fan experience even further than we would otherwise, because we'll now have a little bit of different economic situation to do so.
So beyond the money going to the betting companies and to the sports organizations through partnerships, how will Missouri profit from sports betting? According to the Missouri Gaming Commission, a 10% tax will be applied on the adjusted gross revenue received by sports betting. That revenue will first go towards the commission to reimburse expenses incurred by regulating sports wagering. The commission says it's too soon to predict the revenue the state will see, but some estimates are between $20 and $28 million annually. Afterward, the next $5 million, or 10% of the annual tax revenues, will go to the Missouri Department of Mental Health to address compulsive gambling. The department says it plans to place that funding for problem gambling into essentially three buckets: treatment, prevention, and education. Finally, the remainder will go to the Missouri Department of Education. As to how the Blues will spend the revenue it will earn from legalized sports betting, Chapman says they have one main goal.
I'll put this as simplistically as possible: to pay to the salary cap so that we can try to win. That's our goal.
In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.